Welcome, everybody, to a new episode of the Pacific Novel Project, where we, Steve Childers.
Hello!
And I, Jason Keith, and review our manuscripts that we're working on. His novel is Hollywood Dreams, a detective noir, takes place in the early 40s.
And I'm really starting to loathe it.
Did you say love or loathe?
Loathe. Might need to shelve it for a little bit. Just because, yeah, it's not a labor of love anymore right now.
Now it's just labor. You're feeling, and that's another thing we do here, we share the writer's angst.
Indeed. Sorry to cut you off there, but I was like, if I don't get this in now, it's going to be like totally off topic by the time I say it.
Got to get it off. I don't know. You know what? I don't know if that's really a sidebar or not. That might be on point.
It might be. Call it a point bar.
Yeah. And then I'm writing a fantasy Western mashup called The Ghost of Silver Creek, which we've taken a break from the last few episodes as we're going through my nano project from last year, which is just basically a straightforward traditional fantasy, which is what we're doing today. We switch off every other week. 1 week we do Hollywood Dreams or whatever Steve decides to submit, although we try to stick to our main things. And then
really do.
Yeah. Otherwise they'll never get done.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I don't mind having a couple plates, but you get too many plates and it just, it gets away from you too easily.
A whole drawer full of plates.
Oh God, no.
So we do other things too. We have a monthly podcast in which we review and discuss novels, their themes, their writing styles, etc. And you can find that for free on patreon.com/Pacific Novel Project. So head over there and check out that free podcast and other things that we've got going on.
And it's free. And it's not like, I mean, unless you're an essential worker, which love you all. Unless you're an essential worker, you really don't have fuck all going on.
You know what? Even if they are, just download the Patreon app and you can find us on there. And you can listen to it at work if you got that kind of job. I listen to stuff when I'm at work, podcasts.
Me too.
Right on. There we go.
I should check it out, some other writing podcasts, just kind of seeing what other peeps were talking about with like world building and character development and stuff like that.
Nice. This month we are reading Shipbreaker by Paolo Bacigalupi, which I have found to be a pretty interesting book so far.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it so far. I think some of my favorite work is in the work of Setting in Place. Descriptions of scenery and surroundings and also descriptions of characters does a pretty good job.
I think his language in this one was a little more simple than the last book I read. The last book was called The Wind-Up Girl, was definitely geared toward older audiences. This one is billed as a young adult, so the language is a little bit, leans more in that direction.
Yeah, it definitely feels a lot like a YA novel. I mean, they get rid of the adults so far most of the time, unless the adults present are like bad guys, like Naylor's dad. Guy's a dick.
Yeah, yes, he is.
Yeah.
Speaking of dick dads, I was I stayed up till 1 a.m. the other day watching Rambo Last Blood because I have no respect for myself. This girl's dad in that movie was, man, he was an a-hole. I don't even know what his deal was.
Oh, totally.
He was only in the movie for like 10 seconds, enough for us to see that he was an a-hole. But it was a impressive 10 seconds of a-holery.
It really was.
Did you see that movie?
Yeah, Justin and I went and saw it with my brother-in-law in the theater.
Oh my God, you saw it in the theater?
Yeah, it was cheap night. And
wasn't that cheap.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that cheap. Stallone just should have left the Rambo Rambo thing alone. Like as my friend said after the movie was over, I feel like I just had an old guy jizzing in my face for an hour and a half.
Yeah, you know, the first movie just, you know, bad sequels just take away from good stuff, because I really like that first movie, and I thought it had a little, even though it was kind of an action flick, B movie type thing, it felt like it had a little bit more meaning behind it. But then, you know, he starts, going to Afghanistan. I think he went back to Vietnam, another one, and then, you know, this one, it was just like, what was the point, man?
I liked the first two because the first one kind of had like some interesting social commentary with returning veterans from Vietnam and kind of how certain parts of society frowned upon them.
Oh, I would submit to you that it was a classic example of small town conservative hypocrisy.
Indeed.
Oh,
indeed.
I love the vets, except for this one who's a bum walking through my town. I'm not going to let him get any breakfast. I'm just going to escort his ass out. I think that was reflective of real life.
Yeah, I don't care if he has emotional problems or anything like that from the war. He's a fucking hippie or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And that was one thing that the sheriff, wow, I'm going on a sidebar here.
That's all right.
And
Rambo's worth sidebarring on.
True. And he's like, he references the American flag on Rambo's jacket sleeve. And he's like, some people aren't going to take kind of to seeing you wearing that flag on your sleeve. Cause he thought Rambo was a hippie.
He didn't even look like a hippie.
I mean, I could see where maybe he was going with the hair, but yeah, he didn't really have that hippie persona, attitude, nothing.
And, no, he just had long hair.
Yeah. Yeah. And all he wanted was something to eat. But I liked the second movie, First Blood Part 2, because I felt they kind of got a little bit more into Rambo's character in that one. Like, you know, when they're on the boat, he's talking to what's her name, and he's all, and she, you know, he's like, I'm expendable, and she's all, Rambo, what expendable? And he's like, you know, and he goes, kind of goes into this thing about, you know, like, it's like when you go to a party and nobody cares if you're there, kind of thing. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but I kind of felt like it was more on the action film side than a commentary, but I kind of liked some of the work they did with the character in that film.
And that's the kind of stuff you'll get on our book club podcast.
Indeed.
Patreon.com/Pacific Novel Project.
And Rambo 3 was just Team America before Team America was Team America.
I did not see Rambo 3.
Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah, I could tell from the commercials.
Just anti-communism for the sake of being anti-communism.
Was that before or after Rocky IV?
Ooh.
Yeah, Stallone's giving us mixed messages, man.
I know, right?
It was kind of anti-East, but at the end, you know, it had that Rodney King flair to it, pre-Rodney King. Can't we all get along?
For sure. And yeah, it was just, Rambo 3 was horrible. Don't ever watch it. The one that came out later was just titled Rambo. That was a cool one with the
Did I miss one?
You might have. There was one where some volunteer doctors were coming out to this Civil War kind of ethnic cleansing war zone to try to help some people, and they want to try to hire Rambo as their guide, and he's like, I don't do that, and blah blah blah, but I'll take you up river and drop you off. He finds out like they get captured by this warlord's army kind of thing. Yeah, they get captured, and then like he feels like he needs to go in and help him, and it actually just again, good story, and it was just total action film. I mean, it's bloodbath.
Yeah, I've missed a lot of stuff. Overseas, people talk about things, I'll be like, oh man, I got no idea what that is.
Fair enough. Yeah, my sister's husband is kind of that way. When he went overseas, he's like, I don't know. But I get it. You know, I get it.
All right.
All right. Enough sidebarring. Rah. So here we are, section 6 of Untitled Project, page 129. Let's see. I will have to say I liked the work done with Piper in this section. Kind of still goes along with the same happy-go-lucky, but again, you kind of get a moment with like Hardwin where like he sees more in her eyes than just how she appears on the outside. Like she's like an old soul kind of look in her eyes again.
Yeah.
And I liked how that came back up, and yeah, there was also some interesting contrasting done with characters in this section, but let's get on with it. So last we left off, we had our fearless band of escorters for Piper marching through the woods, or hiking through the woods, however you want to go with that. And they're camping by day and traveling by night.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were going to stick with that, but from later on, it sounds like you did. So cool.
Yeah, I think there's a gradual shift, but hopefully, like the last time we talked, I would say they're doing something at night, and then it would totally be daytime. Hopefully, I'm getting away from that.
Yeah, no, I think you kind of got away from that a little bit on this section. I didn't really feel like changes of night and day so jarring or out of place. So I think you're good on this section. Okay, 129, about halfway down, there was a sentence at the end of the paragraph that is, or someone else at it was just three bad luck. And I'm sure it's a misplaced word or missing a word or something like that, but you might give it some attention.
Right.
And then a little further down, I highlighted some of the placeholder words or terms just for ease of editing later. That way they'll be easy to find.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you for cleaning up my bullshit.
Hey, that's what we do for each other. And then this is more of that carefree attitude displayed by Piper. For her part, she skipped along intently as if they were on a countryside walk toward a picnic, as if their lives were not constantly in danger, whereas everybody else is, you know, alert, trying to cover ground, and worried about pursuers, if not highwaymen, because I imagine there would be highwaymen during this time.
Yep. Although they're one of the reasons they're not on the highway.
Exactly. Good on Dugan for finding those game trails. Okay. Next page, 130. I liked this. I forgot to highlight it, but they were a few miles from the beginning of the woods when Piper came to an abrupt halt. Hardwin, lost in his plans and schemes, nearly tumbled over her, and the tall woman behind him pulled the elf back and jumped between her and Hardwin as if Hardwin was about to spring some trap. And this was something with Kartha that I'm liking about Kartha, is that totally untrusting of Dugan and Hardwin, of humans in general, and it brings a tension into this group that is good for just, you know, building that tension, and it's also going to be a good marker for character growth for her, depending on how long she lives. Because you can never tell.
I'm gonna go Martin on people.
Oh, no, not Martin. Sometimes you gotta, though. Sometimes you gotta kill your darlings.
I haven't really considered whether or not I'm whacking people.
Yeah, that's something I've also been like struggling with, is like trying to decide if I'm gonna whack somebody, who am I gonna whack? So totally understand that land. Okay, so they look back toward the town, and the town's on fire. I thought that was an interesting thing, because it's just like, the question that sparks it is like, what can make a town burn like that? And I have a feeling it's whatever's flying over them at night hunting them. But it could be something else. I don't know. 131. I had like nothing on this page. I was good with this page.
Perfection personified, huh?
I don't know about perfection, but good enough is the enemy of perfection. I mean, after the second revision, we'll see if I'm still like, okay, this is cool, or if I do find stuff. But I didn't really, on this read through, I didn't really find anything that was like glaring at me. 132, had some minor edits on the first half of the page, and then down toward the bottom. Let's see. Hardwin sat on a log across from them, and this is in the orc woman, the elf, and I think Dugan, but Dugan might be out scouting. The sun warmed his back, and he grinned to himself as he watched Piper have his way with the giantess, as she did with every other person she had met. And Piper really has had her way with everyone they've met. She loves laps, and she gets in everybody's lap, and I think that's a cool dynamic of her character.
Should have been have her way instead of his way.
Oh, did I miss that?
I just changed it.
Oh, good job.
All right. Use my clickety clacking.
Click, clack, clack. 133. Starts off with a couple minor edits. And then let's see. You seem to have that covered, he answered. The woman curled her lip in derision. We have been so hurried, we have not had time to greet each other properly. I am Hardwin Ardenson, knight of the. I know who you are, human. There is an unpleasantness in your use of the word human, as if you are not so. And I like the standoffishness of the giantess woman and her attitude toward humans. And she's a half-orc, yes? Half-orc, half-human?
Yeah, she's I think I started her out as half-orc, half-human, and then I decided to make her half-orc, half-elf.
Ah, okay, cool. And yeah, I remember we talked about it a while back, but I couldn't remember. So half orc, half elf.
Yeah, I might have to change that because it might be obvious that she's not, or maybe she looks a little human. But I'll probably have to do some serious revision for that part.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see how it develops. And let's see here, some minor edits. 134. I had a word suggestion for a repetition of peaceful, maybe. Mm. Second peaceful and doing tranquil to try to eliminate it.
Yeah.
Some minor edits after that. 135. So they're sitting around the campfire at around sunset, eating pheasants that Dugan had killed with his bow, I believe. Because I know Hardwin was like, oh, I wish I had his bow. Because he had seen like a deer prance off and some pheasants come out of the field.
I don't really say. There's an earlier scene where he uses like snares to trap birds, so.
Okay, he did say he was going to set some snares too, so.
I just let people use their imagination.
Okay, cool.
He's a ranger.
Well, let's see here. And then the question, should I make up the spices, use ones we know, or keep it vague? I thought I'd just chime in on that and say maybe use some known and one or two indigenous to Dugan's world.
No, okay.
I don't know. Just, yeah. Kind of a little column A, little column B kind of thing. Okay, we go back to the giantess. She had set Piper aside before she stood at and glared at Hardwin. She glared at the knight, at the roasting pheasant. She even managed to stare down the sky and setting sun. And I was just commenting, this giantess is a real hard ass. She needs therapy. I like the tension she brings into the group and for Hardwin.
Thanks.
You're welcome. A few little edits after that. Let's see. The beginning of this sentence, he looked at the girl who smiled up at him, juice running down her chin. She lifted She lifted her pheasant leg as if in a toast to Dugan, and then he smiled and raised his own. And I had made a question mark of Piper. But then after rereading it, I'm like, oh yeah, who else would that be but Piper? So
yeah, because I guess the elf is kind of girlish. I guess they can be confused.
Because it just kind of takes off like right after describing how small the pheasant leg looks in the massive woman's hands, but she's never been referred to as the girl. So I was like, it couldn't be her. So yeah, anyway, I think it's fine. Just at the time I made the comment, I was just like indecision, I guess, on my part. Let's see. A few minor edits after that takes us to 136. This is my companion. I'd like to find a better word for than companion. And I was like, I suggested keeper. I thought about suggesting warden, but that is more in reference to watching over places than people. Whereas keeper, according to the definition, a keeper can be a watcher over of a person or a place.
Okay.
So I don't know. Just a suggestion. Take it or leave it. I don't care. Ain't gonna hurt my feelings if you don't use it.
All right.
All right. And another highlight of placeholder terms, an edit, and Dugan such and such's great grandfather lived with elven scouts for years before the break. He took his knowledge of our ways back to the order. And for me, I'm surprised this was not frowned upon, because I imagine the humans used it against them, if not against Karthus people. But maybe the Order was responsible with it at that time, so maybe it wasn't frowned upon because relations were better.
Yeah, I was thinking times were good then.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I know some stories I read that have to do with like elves and humans. It's like elves, you know, it's like what humans did to the Native Americans when they first came over to like Plymouth Rock and all that shit. On to the next one. The orcs felt the humans deliberately created a plan that used them as fodder for the wizard's fire to exhaust them of their power before the humans entered the battle. And I called it Operation Orc Shield. Definitely a very human thing to do.
Get behind the orcs.
I know, right? Nobody likes orcs. It actually kind of reminded me of a South Park episode.
That's why I just said orcs.
What you said?
Orcs.
Oh, orcs. Yeah.
Instead of.
Okay. Wait, was that in the movie when they did Operation Human Shield and they had Chef and all the black people in town tied to the jets and the tanks?
I need to watch the movie again. They called it Operation Get Behind the Darkies.
Yeah, something like that. I thought it was Operation Human Shield.
Come on to South Park, dude.
Oh, true. True.
It was not Human Shield.
That's a good point. Okay, fair enough. Poor orcs. Let's see. The humans were rowdy and braggadocious. That is a great word use. Good job, my friend. Uncouth. Elves celebrate better than anyone, I think. But they were somber, as well as their orc allies. And I like this cultural contrast. It kind of shows the difference between the humans and the elves and the orcs. Let's see here. It was shortly after we withdrew from the world for, I think there's a stray we, but I wasn't sure if that was intentional.
Oh, yeah, it could be. We withdrew from the world for, yeah, that's just a messed up sentence.
Our oldest, the ones who had been alive when the apocalypse came, were certain it was the travesty of men that had chased the gods from the world who brought this chaos on us. And I was like, I agree with the oldest of the elves that humans are a blight on the world and on themselves. Let's see, 137, some minor edits. We have 3 hours of good light, he said. I think we best make use of it. Can you lead us out of here, Dugan? And this is why I asked the question earlier about the sleeping during the day and traveling at night, because I was like, didn't Hardwin suggest that they make camp? Because I, you know, figured they'd stay there through the night But then I was like, oh yeah, they were traveling at night and sleeping during the day. So yeah, that's why I figured I'd ask you about that.
Was that not a different day?
No, it was, I assume it was the evening following the campfire and the pheasant.
Yeah.
So I think that's all good on that note. I was just, okay. Immediately I was just kind of like surprised that they weren't going to like, you know, crash out for the evening. But then I had remembered that they had talked about traveling at night, camping during the day. So having a meal at like sunset would make sense.
Okay.
It could have been breakfast for them. And then I just had a couple minor edits on the rest of the page, and I'm a placeholder highlight 138, some placeholder highlights, a couple minor edits.
There's a lot of placeholders on that page.
There was, but I get it, man. Rough draft. I mean, you know, you don't have to think of every name, you know, in the moment of while you're doing the rough draft. So I think that's actually a good strategy to kind of just be able to move the fuck on, you know?
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, if you want to think of a name before you actually move on, I mean, dude, that's where writer's block can start.
Yeah.
You know, it can manifest from something small into something much bigger.
Yeah.
139. See, Kartha said something in a, and you want to do a certain language, something like that kind of captures like Hawaiian dialect, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, that was a note for me to look up how linguists just describe that language so I can describe it.
There you go. Yeah, and I had no idea, so I was of no help there. I noticed it starts with Kartha said something, and then Lilianathal answer was short. So was it Kartha or Liliana saying what is above Liliana's identifier? I was just confused by that link.
So, all right.
Moving on, 140. Okay. You clumsy cow, Kartha said behind him, clearly unhappy that he so casually fell in line beside Lilianathal. Yeah.
You are a clumsy cow.
Oh, you are a clumsy cow. Yeah. Okay. What did I say?
You're a clumsy cow. I don't know. The way you said it, it made it sound like she was just randomly calling him a clumsy cow when it was just in response to him asking how sneaky he was.
Yes. I suppose I could have given that some context too. and Lilianathal said about 15 meters. So, you know, but yeah, Kartha's fucking brutal, dude. She has like no reservations. And then I was wondering why, because Liliana, let's see, tell me she's just being mean. Liliana laughed slightly. She is. Perhaps by the time we are done, I will have improved. It has actually been some time since I have been able to put my skills to use in this manner. Oh, why is that? Duga started to speak, but Hardwin had turned to give him a hard look at and the ranger slowly closed his mouth. And is that because he doesn't want him saying anything about the order?
Yeah.
Okay. I had a feeling that was the case, but I wasn't quite sure. So I thought I'd
ask. Hardwin's a soldier, man. OPSEC. Operational security.
Totally makes sense. I can get behind that. Don't show your hand of cards until, you know, it's time.
Know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
You want to play fish with me. Thank you, Steven Spielberg.
Nice.
All right, minor edits, and we're on to 141. Placeholder highlight. And this is in regards to Dugan's ornate daggers, if you will, or short swords. Would they be daggers or short swords?
Kind of in between.
Okay, that works. So custom job.
Dirks?
Okay, we can go Dirk.
Long knives.
So Kartha is like, okay, I'm not impressed. You didn't make them yourself. For all I know, you could have dug them up dug them up from a battlefield or took them off a corpse or whatever. You could have dug them up.
Is that what you got from that?
Well, she says you could have dug them up, Kartha said. Dugan blinked at the woman quizzically. The swords? You could have dug them up. It was stupid to waste such a gift. That's what I got from it. I mean, if you're digging them up, man, it's got to be in a battlefield or a crypt. That's what I got from it.
Okay. No, the way you said it, I thought you were thinking that. Nah, never mind.
Oh no, they were handed down to him from like, yeah, his grandfather or even great grandfather, but he only knew his, yeah, grandfather. He didn't know his great grandfather.
I'm just asking about this because I just want writing. It's clear here. So they're having a conversation about the tradition of bearing these weapons with the people who made them and how this generation doesn't really know how to make their own swords. And they started handing them down instead of teaching that making because they ran out of material. And they're like, what you going to do? And then Karth is like, dig them up, dumbass, instead of burying them.
Okay. So I did totally take that wrong then.
Well, okay, I'll rework that then.
I don't think it needs to be reworked. I mean, I had the idea of it. I mean, because she does, let's see here. Now I want to reread this section. I'll do it later. But yeah, no, I got the cultural shift from sword making to, sword making and burying them and then you making your own. I totally got that. I was going under the impression that Karth was just like trying to insult him by like, you know, just because you pull him off the dead doesn't, you know, mean anything, you know. I kind of thought she was going for an insult. But I guess in a way she kind of was, but not, yeah. Anyway, okay, moving on.
Yeah, in a way she kind of was.
Okay. I think it works regardless. But yeah, I mean, if you wanted to kind of make it more clear, I mean, that would 142 placeholder highlight. And then I like this the sentiment from Dugan. Let's see, who is it? Who brings up the prelate first? Hardwin? I'm trying to remember now. But anyway, Cat gets out of the bag, and I like the sentiment that comes from Dugan. Look at them. They are in as biggest trouble as we are, maybe more. Look at us, cowering in the woods, clutching our secrets as if they are the most important thing in life, as if they matter. For what? In the end, we will take them into the ground with us, like so many dead men clutching their, and then fancy blades, whatever they're going to be called. I like that sentiment of like, hey, you know, maybe we should be honest with each other now in hopes that we can actually garner some trust and respect from one another and understand where we're all coming from. So I really like that sentiment, especially with this group that has joined Hardwood and Dugan. I mean, because it's an uneasy alliance, especially with Kartha.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. And then minor edits after that, 143. Piper caught his glance and smiled at him. It was not the bright, playful smile of the girl he had come to know the last 2 weeks, but it was close enough. And I like the observation that this kind of observation has come around again. And it's a good reminder on Piper is not what she seems kind of trait. Book by its cover and all that jazz. And then I thought this was kind of funny when the elf was praying and Dugan's like, forgive you? Dugan asked, for what? Not you, Kartha said. She prays for the forgiveness of her goddess. And then names haven't come up with yet. That was kind of I kind of took that as a moment of levity for, you know, Dugan, like, forgive you for what?
That's because the thing that's chasing them that has like that fear aura flew over their head and everybody froze.
Yes. And that was something I meant to highlight and comment on, but I forgot to. And well, thanks for bringing that up. Cause I like that dynamic of this. Well, I'm going to call it a strange creature at this point. Dragon-like, whatever, you know, I like that dynamic and it's going to prove to be something that's going to be really interesting as the story goes on. Cause I mean, what happens when they come to face with this thing? You know, is this aura going to like totally screw them over from like having a chance to fight it if they get backed into a corner? It's just a lot of questions, which is good. Cause you know, if you're asking questions, you're going to keep reading. I hope. There's a fine line. I mean, there really is. But
a line between, ooh, I wonder what this is. Can't wait to find out. And what the hell is going on?
Exactly. Yeah. you don't want the ladder. 144. Let's see. Dugan's pace was relentless, and Hardwin, despite his beatings and embarrassing clumsiness, was not going to slow him down. I like that Hardwin is having a rough go, and it puts a contrast to him and the others with their skill sets and natural advantages. Because he's like having trouble traveling in the dark, you know, kicking rocks and getting branches in the face, and yeah, just kind of making an audible spectacle of himself. I guess is the way to put it.
He's a clumsy cow.
Indeed. All right, 145. There was three repetitions of confidence. I highlighted two. Yeah, just cited repetition proximity. Okay. I don't know. The way the sentences are structured, it's going to be kind of hard to do that unless you can find some good synonyms.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do some good lifting. Let's see here. Silence descended on the party as each member delved into their own thoughts as they watched woods and skies for anything out of place or untoward. Though Dugan led them on a grueling pace, none complained. Even Piper walked on her own without any indication of slowing. The lingering feeling of fear stuck to them like a foul, and then something that would taste foul. I suggested sauerkraut.
Sounds you have a personal demon.
Oh, I do. I do. My level one boss, or who knows, maybe even the final boss, probably going to be a sauerkraut monster. Remember, I just remember the first time I ever tasted it, man. I was just like, fuck that shit. So, yeah.
It's like meat sour cream.
Ooh, you know, another good suggestion would be canned lutefisk.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, dude, I'm going to send you a video later. It's from a TV show that had Bradshaw.
Terry Bradshaw?
Yeah, Terry Bradshaw, William Shatner, and somebody else. It was a short-run TV show with, like, challenges. And they got challenged to open this can of lutefisk, and just the smell almost knocked them off their feet.
Interesting.
And long story short, I think it was Shatner? I think it was Bradshaw that was like, after like Shatner and the other guy that was with him tasted it. And Bradshaw, it was Terry Bradshaw's turn, and he's like, fuck this, and books it. And I guess that Shatner ran after him and tackled Bradshaw and like was like rubbing it on his face. Yeah, I went to Comic-Con in Idaho in Boise when I was there, and I got a chance to sit in on a Shatner talk, and he was telling this story of this, and yeah, I was just like, oh god,
what's that stuff called?
I think it's lutefisk. I think it's canned lutefisk. I think. I could be wrong, but I think it's canned lutefisk.
Hmm.
Or, hey, if you know what it is, maybe leave a comment on our Facebook page.
Yeah, tell us if you've ever had it. And whether you not recommend it to me.
Yeah, I mean, I've had lutefisk in Lefse, but not from canned lutefisk. I had fresh lutefisk. It's a Swedish dish. It's actually super good with fresh lutefisk and the lefse. You got to have the lefse. The lefse
Okay. Makes
the meal. Anyway, sidebar over. 146. Just some minor edits and a placeholder highlight. 147. Some minor edits. And I saw cops made a comeback. Cops a tree.
Yeah, when I'm in the forest, I use that word.
Hey, I like it. It works.
It's my go-to forest word.
Yeah, I mean, and it captures that idea of, like, you know, a series of trees in kind of a tight-knit group. Yeah, it worked for, you know, conveying the kind of area that they stopped in. I just saw that and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I can see what they're going with. And then 148, A sound caught his ears out. Yeah, sentence needs attention. I think there's a missing word or just, yeah, typo or whatever. But, yeah, just need some attention. And then lastly, then the sound of heavy feet wandered off down the path. The way the party had come from the stomping and grunting faded into the distance. Hardwin slowly let out his breath and turned back into the copse where he saw the empty blanket of Lilianthal. And this is coming after like a bunch some sounds of like rustling and heavy steps, and he's like sure that like whatever he was hearing is like a bear, something big like that. So with Liliana being gone from her blanket and this whatever it is stomping and grunting around and fading into the distance, makes me wonder, did Liliana turn into a bear, or did she turn into a werewolf, or some other, you know, transformation? And I'm wondering where Lily went.
All right. Well, come back for another show to find out.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
All right. Hope you got your bat werewolf repellent with you.
You know, you might need it.
All right, sweet. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Do you have any questions for me?
I do not think I have any questions this time. Do you have any questions for me?
No, I mean, the questions I had, we kind of addressed them as we went, so, which is actually, I think, pretty good for this format. I mean, normally it's like, you know, the author, you know, doesn't say shit until the whole review is. I don't think it fits a podcast format real well.
No, I mean, we're already pretty quiet.
Yeah, I mean, true. But I mean, it's nice to have that back and forth on this format. So yeah, we kind of make some allowances for the sake of the show.
Because shutting up is part of the workshop rules.
It is. But I think with the back and forth that we do, I think we use it responsibly. I really feel that we do.
Yeah, and it's mostly sidebars.
True.
Gotta have a good sidebar.
Yeah, plus it helped that we kind of developed some thick skin through, you know, our adventures through school. So, you know.
Yeah. Oh my god, my first story that I wrote when I got out of basic journalism in 92, 91.
Uh-huh.
Was at Fort Benjamin Harrison, and so I left school. My chief was like editing the copy I turned in for the paper, and I was walking in through the office. And he was like, "Hey, Peterson," and I was like, "Yeah, what's up, chief?" And he had my—I didn't know he had my story in his hand. He's like, "Damn, son, are you fucking retarded."
Whoa, man, that's rough. That's rough.
And I was like, "I don't think so."
Hope not.
He sat me down and gave me a lesson in editing that was much more thorough and helpful than his opening question.
Well, that was nice of him to follow up with that. Oh, God.
Ah, man, yeah. Good old days. All right. Thank you, Steve. I'll be looking forward to whatever it is you got to give me next week.
All righty, cool.
And we record the shows every 2 weeks, and we each submit one of our stories. So basically it's once a month. In a couple weeks, we'll be doing Steve's stuff. And then a couple weeks after that, we'll come back to my stuff, so on and so on. And again, if you go to patreon.com/Pacific Novel Project, you will find our book club podcast where we are reading Shipbreaker by Paolo Bacigalupi. And just an example of other things we've done The Road by Cormac McCarthy, The Little Sister by Raymond Chandler, Princess and the Goblin, George MacDonald, The Returned, The Sisters Brothers, The Buried Giant. We try to do a variety of different things.
Yep, that we do. And variety is spice of life.
All right, everybody, Steve, good night, and I will talk to you later.
All right, man, sounds good. I will see you around.
But let's not get too close.
Yeah, social distancing and all. I want to get a Darth Vader mask.
I've seen some cool ones.
Yeah, there are some neat ones I saw too. I was like, oh, neat.
Later. And remember, everybody, to write on.